Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. A portion of our series will be dedicated to talking to Slidell's Christian community leaders. Our purpose in this series is to build a solid base of Christian values in Slidell and provide an encouragement to all our citizens. Today we're talking with Jim Dixon. Jim is, I guess you'd call him something of an itinerant missionary. His joy in life is working with businessmen and small groups, and I think the revelation of seeing people come to the love of Christ is something that really makes Jim's day for him. So Jim, welcome. We're glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, just in talking with you a little bit, I find the things that you've told me about you and your life and your ministry is a little bit different than being a pastor in a church, but yet you're fully engaged and fully involved with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you tell us a little bit about your passion? What is it that in the morning when you have your time with the Lord, what is it that He leaves you with every day? What's your assignment for the day?
Well, Bob, I've been in ministry for, I guess, 35 years or so. I was an associate pastor in a church here in town for about 8 years, and left that and became involved with a group of businessmen in New Orleans where we met during lunchtime with people who would come to Bible studies. Saw lots of people who probably wouldn't go to church, whose background didn't afford them understanding of the grace of God. I saw a lot of people come to Christ. Well, that's my passion now, is to share the gospel, the real gospel, with people and see them really get a glimpse of God's love, and not just a glimpse, but a big drink of water. You know?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. What an exciting ministry that is, because it sounds like there's no bounds, no boundaries, that the things that you do are pretty much as the Lord leads you that day to different groups and different opportunities to be able to minister.
I started this office back in 2001. It was primarily for counseling, what people would call counseling, but I choose to not promote that too much. I just want to meet with people who are in a place where they're struggling a little bit and help them come to know the provisions that Christ has for them. We started this, and I've met with people here for the last 16 years, and I was telling you before, most of the time people come here and they want to answer to the problems that they're having. My desire is to have a safe place where they have someone that will listen to them, where they can express their pain and their hurt, and then I want to share with them God's love for them. Amen. And how He has a plan for their life and how they can trust Him. So it's not an easy 1-2-3 answer that I want to give people. I refuse to answer people's questions about their problems when they come, because I know that there's someone else who can answer their questions, and that'll be the best, and that's Jesus. I just love it when I see people open their heart and receive all that He has for them. That message is generally not the same that they have picked up along the way. I've noticed that, as I was telling before, a lot of people kind of believe, have heard the Santa Claus gospel, which says, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why, because Jesus is coming, and He's keeping a list and checking it twice. And so most of the time, people's idea of who God really is someone that's distant. He's not very happy with them. I want to introduce them to Jesus, who loves them, who came here to take care of the sin issue and offer them life, offer them God's life. Amen. So God's desire for people is that we open our hearts to Him and allow Him to persuade our hearts of His love and His grace and His forgiveness, and that He's our Father. I love seeing people catch that.
Amen. Amen. Mm. You know, this gospel of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming in its ability to be able to make us whole again.
Yeah.
To be able to show us the way and to provide the answers for life. Mm. But yet we don't all come to Christ with the same issues.
Right.
What is it that you're hearing from people who are seeking answers? What is their cutting edge? What are the questions? What are the questions that people are seeking answers to? We know what the answer is, and it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
But what is the need of society today? What's going on in people's heads that we can hear and address today?
I think that for the most part, people seem to be just bogged down in their own issues. I believe that people go to church on Sundays with a need in their heart, with a desire to get an answer, to have a relationship with Jesus. Yet, my experience has been many people go there and they sit and they listen and they get up and leave with the same problems they came there with. So many times people don't have a chance to sit down with somebody and express their fears, their doubts, and their hurts.
Okay.
And so that's what I want to do. I want to offer a place where people can actually talk back to you rather than being preached at. What I see is that so many people just have a very distorted view of God, the Christian message, which is the gospel, that Jesus came and dealt with the sin issue, and when He said it's finished on the cross, what He meant was it's finished. As we see the picture of Jesus, who was the last Adam, who experienced sin, which was not his sin, but the sin of the world that killed him, and then see that God's judgment of mankind now is not to condemn him, but to see man in the resurrected Christ. So if we see ourselves in Jesus resurrected, and as Ephesians 2 says, seated with him at the right hand of God, that is a life-changing, it's a life-changing message, you know, that helps people understand that God now has given us a choice. We can enter into the new covenant with Jesus that he made with the Father, and experience his life. And that's what God wants. He wants us to experience life in his life. And that's the very best. You know, there's not anything better than that. So the life that most people are experiencing is actually the Adam life, which leads to death. And so death is going on in so many people now because they're looking for life in the wrong place. And they're thinking if they could ever get everybody else to act right and be right, then they would be happy. But it's not the case. It's not going to happen. But God has a plan for us to allow Jesus to become our life.
Amen.
And to express his life through us. I often tell people about the, I'm a golfer. I'm about a 14 or 15 handicap. I tried to get Jordan Spieth, who's one of the best golfers in the world, or maybe Jason Day. He's the number one now. Maybe get Jason Day to come down here and give me some golf lessons, and I could become a scratch golfer like him. So I get Jason Day to come down. I can't believe he'd come down here and spend some time with me. So he comes down, coaches me a little bit, and I watch him as close as I can, and I try to do everything that Jason Day does as a golfer. And after a couple of days, Jason says, "Jim, I've given you my best, but I'm sorry, you're just never going to be a scratch golfer. You just don't have it in you. But there's a little zipper behind your neck back there, and if you'll unzip that zipper, I'll get inside of you, and you can still be Jim, and I'll play golf through you, if you'll just let me."
Oh,
and I say, "Well, I don't really know whether that's true or not, but I feel back there, and sure enough, there's a zipper." So I agree with him, and I unzip the zipper, and Jason Day gets inside of me. And I go to the tee box with my friends on Friday afternoon, and I get my driver out, and I hit it about 300 yards. And the reason I do is because I'm not trying. I'm just letting Jason play golf through me.
Amen.
And so I go to the next shot, and I get my pitching wedge out, which I never get that close to the green. And I hit it right on the green, and I birdied the first hole. So I think that if we can come to that place where we understand our accepting the fact that Jesus wants to come and live in us and express his life through us in the unique way that he's created us, makes all the difference in the world. So I'm not out there trying to answer people's questions about their problems. I want them to know the Christ who can live in them and express his life through them. You know, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we have the wisdom of God, and we only have it if we're trusting him to express his life through us. I love it. I love it when we're able to share that with people.
And, amen. Amen. Yeah. What a great story. What a great way to express it. It's just a really clear picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hear you saying that so much today we're hearing the thou shall nots and the thou shalts.
Yeah.
But really, Jesus came to teach us all about relationship.
Right.
All about a relationship with him, a personal relationship, but yeah. not just the worn-out word of personal relationship, but a real honest giving of ourselves to him and receiving all that he has for us.
Right.
We're better off because mm-hmm. he's a part of our life. What an amazing and great way to look at this gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When people come in and they talk to you and they tell you the issues in their lives, what is it that you think drove them to you in the first place to even ask the question? We know what the question is and we know what the answer is, but what brought them to your door in the first place to be able to seek a better answer?
Well, I think that it's mostly by a referral from a friend that's been here before that knows me, has found that this is a safe place. I mentioned that I meet with groups of men in New Orleans and Slidell and Baton Rouge and Covington, and those men come to those meetings because they feel accepted, and they know that whatever they say or whatever they express is doubts or fears or whatever, is I'm not going to come down on them and make them feel like they're stupid. I want people to know that everybody has questions, everybody has doubts, and everybody experiences fears at times. So I want them to know, I want them to know Father, my Father in heaven, who says, I love you so much that I want to listen to you. I want to know you. And to just understand that God's desire is not to make our life miserable, but to know us. And I don't know anyone. I've never met anyone who didn't desire to be known in some way. And all of us do. If we can give each other that opportunity to, you know, when you sit down and talk to people a lot of times, you know what you hear? You hear them talking, so you never get a chance to speak. So I want people to have a chance to speak and to express what's in their heart. You know, a lot of times when we talk and express what's in our heart, it surprises us what comes out.
That's right.
You know. Anyway, I want people to know about the love of Jesus. A friend of mine was telling me. He said, you know, I think a lot of times when we come to Christ, we're so excited, you know, when we first get to know Jesus. And then the next thing that happens is somebody says, well, have you been baptized? Are you tithing?
Yeah.
Are you reading the Bible every morning? Are you having a quiet time? And so all of a sudden, these things are not bad, but all of a sudden we get loaded down with so many things to do for God that we drift away from that special intimate relationship that we knew with him to begin with. My desire is to help people see that God's, it's not like, you know, if you had a family and you had a bunch of children, it would almost be like you telling your children, I think that on Sundays I'd like for you to come to my house, and when you get here I'd like for you to sing a little bit for me, you know, worship me a little bit. And then, by the way, you need to bring your money because I'm taking up a little offering here. I want you to praise me, and I'm going to use you. I mean, all those things that we hear. And I think that's kind of the message that people get sometimes when they go to church. But God's not like that. God really wants you to come in the house and sit down and be comfortable.
Amen.
And have a conversation with him. And talk with him and listen to him. And I really believe God's speaking to us all the time.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
It's a question of whether or not we choose to have ears to hear.
Amen.
You know. So his message is this: I love you, and I'm interested in you, and I care so deeply about you.
Yes.
But I've made a way for you to be with me forever, and you're going to enjoy it. I promise.
What a great word. What a great word for today. Jim, based on what you're telling me and talking about the love of Christ, and one of the questions I've been dealing with lately is, what does it really mean to love your neighbor? We've gone to some meetings in Baton Rouge, prayer meetings up there, and there were people outside picketing and saying inside that building, which was the Christians praying, mm-hmm. is just a group of haters. Mm-hmm. You know, we judge fall into our categories of where they ought to be, and, mm-hmm. you know, we got a lot of challenges today.
Yeah.
People challenging us on our beliefs and then taking it as hate when we tell them what we think the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thought? We've been talking about dealing with people who are seeking God, mm-hmm. dealing with people who are seeking answers,
mm-hmm.
but what should our posture be with those who are non-believers? They don't believe the gospel, but yet the Word says to love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
How do you perceive our relationship with non-believers in the difficult times that we live in today?
First thought comes to my mind is all of us. Ephesians 1 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So before we come to Christ, we are not experiencing life. What we're experiencing is death. And so when we say they're not believers, we're talking about people who are experiencing death, and they're dead. And so you can preach to a dead man all you want to, and he's not going to move. He won't move. What changed the world when Jesus came, and then when the Apostle Paul started going to churches, was people experiencing the life of Christ. Jesus said in John 15, He said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." And I've looked at that a lot, and I thought, you know, there's some people I don't love.
Yeah.
And there's some people I don't like, and I don't want to be around. And yet, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, the whole world, the whole human race, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life." And that life is found in his Son. So to ask somebody who is spiritually dead to believe what some people who are trying to get them to act right are saying is like asking somebody with a broken arm to pick up a 20-pound weight.
Oh, wow.
They just can't do it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if our approach to those people is different, and we're not in their face, but we meet them on the streets and express the love of Christ to them, that's a whole different ball game.
Yes.
When Jesus said, "This new commandment I give you, that you love one another," I look at that and I say, you know what? For me, that's impossible. But at the beginning of John chapter 15, he says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So the only way that I can love my neighbor is first to abide in Christ, as I was talking about Jason Day getting on inside of me and playing golf through me.
Yes.
Christ who lives in me can very easily, and I think without effort, express his love to people who are dead and see them come to life. Mm. So I don't think that, I don't think we can legislate morality. It can to a certain extent. I don't think we can change the way our nation is going right now by having large confrontations and marches and signs and all that. I think it's done the way it was done in the first century, and that's one-on-one, sharing Christ with my neighbor, sharing Christ with other people. You know, when Mardi Gras is going on and people are down there marching saying Jesus doesn't like what's going on here, I want to go down there and tell those people Jesus loves you. He'd be here right in the middle of you if he was here physically. And the truth is, he is here physically in his church.
Amen.
The question is, what's the church doing?
That's right.
You know, are we just inviting people to the four walls so we can preach at them? Or are we actually caring for and loving people where they are?
Well,
so,
yes.
You know, what meant so much to me and to you and to every other believer that we know is that at some point in our life, God met us right where we were. And he didn't say, "You need to change in order for me to love you." He said, "I love you." And we heard that and responded to it. So I believe that, and I think that you and I have experienced people who come in contact with the love of Christ, and their response, for some they'll walk away. For some, you know, everybody's not going to be saved. But those who hear the message and respond to it and simply say, yes, I believe, and Lord, help me with my unbelief, you know, persuade my heart. Those people are the ones who come to Christ, and their life has changed. I met with somebody several years ago, and I won't tell you where he was coming from, but he sat down in the chair, and he said, I'm such and such, and you know, I'm real involved in this horrible sin. And I said, let's put that on the back burner for a while. And we put it on the back burner, and I listened to his story. And he began to share with me and share with me. After about 3 weeks, he came to my office and he said, I have never invited Christ into my heart. And I said, really? So we had him talk, kind of talked around that. And he said, but I think I want to. And I said, okay.
Wow.
Well, if you'd like to, you want to do it now? And I didn't give him a prayer or anything. He got down on his knees in my office. And he raised his hands, and he prayed the most wonderful prayer I think I've ever heard. And that man's life was changed. I didn't deal with the issue that he came there with, that some Christian would have said, okay, you have to stop that. I just listened to his heart. And I think that's what, I don't think, I know that's what people need. They need people in the community who will listen to the hearts of people who are struggling and are actually dead, and God wants to give them life.
Amen.
So the only way that's going to come is for the body of Christ, the true church, to rise up and just be a lover of men.
Amen.
And to understand that I can't do that apart from Christ doing it through me. But when he does it through me, it's effortless.
Well, we talk about doing this. And I don't think we're talking about watching our pastor do it, mm-hmm, or watching other church leaders do it. It's up to us. It's up to you and I to get outside the walls of the church and live where people live,
mm-hmm,
and just listen and love and be a part of the community. And,
yeah,
of course, that's a great part of, I think, what Grace Radio is all about, is just being out in the community, being around people who are, mm-hmm, lovers of Christ and lovers,
mm-hmm,
of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly is. It certainly is refreshing and a pleasure and a blessing to hear that from you. Thank you, Jim. What a great answer. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation today as we get ready to wrap it up here?
Yeah, I think there's just maybe one thing, Bob. I think people don't like to be preached at, even if it's in church. They like to be loved. If we can share the love of Christ with people, then that's the very best. So that's what we want to do, is be there and care for people and love them.
Well, I can't think of a better note to end on than encouraging and inspiring each one of us to, mm-hmm, show the love of Christ wherever we go and whatever we do.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Jim, for being with us today. We really appreciate your wise counsel and your insight. You've been a blessing to me and I know to our listening audience. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can now call us at 985-250-1037 to leave a comment, and you can also send us a text. We would also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and leave a comment. You can also check on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, and there you can make a tax-deductible gift to the station. We need your financial support. And again, if you want to call us with a comment or a text, you can do so at 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 and 3 p.m. and get into the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.